So we are in chapter 5, and we looked last week at God as the creator that chapter 4 talks about, but then His upholding, His directing, His disposing and governing. And we looked at how that should impact our walk with Him. And now we are on point 2 of the confession, and we are on paragraph 3 of the testimony, and paragraph 2 of the confession says, although in relation to the foreknowledge and decree of God, the first cause, all things come to pass immutably, that means unchangeably, and infallibly, just as God decrees them, yet by the same providence He ordereth them to fall out according to the nature of second causes, either necessarily, freely, or contingently. Okay, so God is the first cause. Notice that that word is capitalized like it's a proper name, because it is referring to God as the cause, God as the source of all things. And so in relation to who He is and what He decreed, everything that comes to pass falls perfectly and unchangeably within His decree and His foreknowledge. God never says, well, I didn't realize they were going to do that. Back to the drawing board. No, He never has that thought. One of my favorite quotes, does it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? Well, I didn't think they might do that. Boy, I'm up a creek now. That's not how God handles things. But He, in relation to Him, everything falls out perfectly as He designed it. But He uses secondary causes to accomplish that. And so we have three words here. Necessarily, things that are of necessity, and that is talking about what we would consider the laws of nature. In Earth's atmosphere, water boils at... Okay, Calderwood. What would your standard textbook say? 212 degrees, or somewhere around that, depending on how high or low you are. That's true. I mean, we were right at sea level and Oceanside, and I had a difficult time getting cooking things to work right sometimes, because it's just different than at a condo up in the Rocky Mountains a couple miles up in the air. It's just different. But standard 212 degrees, 100 degrees centigrade. Okay, there are laws of nature. The sun rises and sets. We can see some of these verses here. Genesis 8:22. That's the one that I couldn't think of last week, and Brother Don was faithful to help me out there. Genesis 8:22, that we should take comfort in, by the way. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. We're all going to boil to death. Global, no, heat and cold. As long as the earth is in existence, these things will stand. And so there's, as we look at science, if you will, those are the laws of nature that God has put into place. Those are the necessarily secondary causes, okay, that God uses. And then we have these freely or contingently, and those deal with causes with variability, okay? And that would include things like unforced human decisions. Unforced human decisions. And I had a long conversation with a good friend about this one night, and he was just not wanting to run down the path I was running down on this. Because he's very much one, God doesn't care about certain things. He doesn't, you know, God doesn't worry about if you're going to buy a green car or a blue car? And I said, oh, yes, he does. So what do you mean? And I have to be careful because I can lose myself sometimes, and that's a very scary moment. But I said, God cares if I buy a green car. Well, what do you mean? I said, who said there had to be the color green? Now, not to Ed, it doesn't matter. He's colorblind. He's colorblind. But who said there had to be a color green for me to buy a green car? Well, I don't see your point. Maybe you don't see my point. But God at some point established the color green, and there had to be the color green for me to buy a green car. Now, I probably wouldn't buy a green car. It'd probably be red or black. But these even intricate, minute details, God has decreed. He knows exactly what will be happening. And yet I can go to the car lot and buy a Ford or a Chevy, or I can be intent on buying a Chevy and veer off, and some might say into sin, and buy a Ford. That doesn't change God's plan somehow. That's a free decision that no one forced me. God did not drop a scroll out of heaven and say, Emily Hash, behold, she is the one. Marry her. But I believe that she is the woman that God created for me. And so these free, contingent, variable things that we see in the world, well, we could do this or we could do that. Well, let's do that. God does, oh, now I've got to redirect everything in the universe because you decided to know. That free choice is part of His sovereign plan and design. Look at Acts 2:23. Part of Peter's sermon. I'll read 22 and 23. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through Him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. So if you walked up to a Roman soldier at the crucifixion and you said, I know you really didn't really want to do this. No, probably laughing and saying, yeah, this is what I want to do. Right, this is the best part of my job, whatever it is. Human will, human choice, human decision, but it was part of the definite foreknowledge and plan of God. And so, God's providence, there is nothing that escapes that overarching protection or design or decree of God. Everything falls within that. Nothing is outside of that. God is the first cause, but He uses secondary causes. He uses second causes to accomplish that. Even accidental things. Those verses are Exodus 21:13 and Deuteronomy 19:5 are linked together. Deuteronomy 19:5. Two guys go into the woods and one swings the axe to cut down the tree. And the head of the axe flies off and smacks his friend in the head and kills him. But it even speaks of God has caused that to happen. And so, even things that we would see as accidents, God uses. And God designs. Let's look at 1 Kings 22. Let's look at randomness, is what we're looking at in this passage. 1 Kings 22, verse 28 and verse 34. And Micaiah said, if you return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, hear all you people. So here, a prophet prophesies against Ahab. And then he finishes it with, you're going into battle. If you make it out alive, I wasn't speaking the word of God. Okay? So let's look at verse 34. But a certain man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the scale armor and the breastplate. And he said to his driver, get me out of here. I'm wounded. That's what we sum up in the human phrase. What are the odds of that happening? What are the odds? The prophet didn't pull aside a mercenary and say, okay, your only job now is to get in there and kill that guy so the word of God is confirmed. The prophet had no idea how it would happen. But he spoke this over Ahab. And some guy somewhere on the battlefield draws a bow out, pulls it out, and lets it go. And hits virtually the only chink in the king's armor. The only spot. What are the odds of that happening? Like my dad in high school getting into a car crash, and it was his car insurance salesman. What are the odds of that happening? Okay? But even you could see as absolute randomness, a stray bullet, a stray arrow, a random word said in a timely way, whatever it might be, even that is controlled by the providence of God. And we should take great comfort in that. Isaiah 10,